Tune in to learn more about Paul Aronson, the Ombudsman for the State of New Jersey for Individuals with Intellectual or Developmental Disabilities. Paul talks about his annual report, which is a wealth of information about the state of disability services in New Jersey, and he also shares how his office can help families. Thank you for listening. Thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited to have you here, Paul, on Cape Chat, because I know you and I have crossed paths a couple of times, and I kept saying, oh, we have to do something for Cape, but it was really your annual report that like drew me in. And I said, oh my gosh, this is incredible work. And I hope anybody who's listening reads your annual report. What I found most helpful was like basically a summary of all the things I think we deal with when we're working with people in the disability community. And I loved, you know, hearing everyone's personal stories, but I also love the recommendations you made for the future because that kind of helps me in my thinking. So excited to talk to you about these things. So I wanted to start with, you are the Ombudsman for New Jersey for individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Can you give us a little history on how you came to that role, your background, those types of things?
Sure, I appreciate it. And thanks for having me on, Nicole. So the position, I'll start with the position. It's relatively new in state government. It was created by the state legislature in December of 2017. Then Governor Chris Christie signed it into law in January 2018, and I was appointed a few months later by Governor Murphy to serve as the first ombudsman for individuals with intellectual or developmental disabilities and their families, which is probably the longest title in state government.
Right.
So that, you know, the office came out, and it was really the office, you know, one of the first things I did is I reached out to the legislative sponsors to find out their intent with this, because it was not just new to New Jersey, but it's kind of unique nationwide. And I wanted to get their sense of it. And I gathered, you know, it was really born out of the recognition that here in New Jersey, there are a lot of resources for children as well as adults with intellectual developmental disabilities, but it's a very complex system and it can be overwhelming. And because we're talking about lifespan disabilities, you know, you get through today's challenge, tomorrow is another challenge, and it can just be overwhelming. And so they wanted to create an office that would be a resource for these individuals and families to help them navigate the system, to help them advocate, you know, when necessary. So that was sort of the genesis of it. For me personally, you know, I grew up in a family with disability. I had an older sister, Patty, who had developmental disabilities. And I really learned so much and became very passionate about disability through her and through my mom as her caregiver. Particularly as Patty got older, in her 20s, she started having more physical disabilities. And she ended up quadriplegic, requiring a feeding tube. I wouldn't say she was nonverbal. She always had a few choice words for her younger brother, but... You know, I learned so much from Patty and how she sort of navigated life with grace and humor and just strength. And my mom as your caregiver, again, really as an adult, because my mom really had to step in a big way. And so they were my teachers. They're the ones that sort of lit my fire. And I also had a brother. My other two siblings also have had a mix of disabilities and healthcare challenges. So I learned a lot from home. And you know, I just got lucky. You know what I mean? I've been involved in disability issues a lot. This is my first time really in a full-time job capacity, you know, doing disability. I had met, you know, Governor Murphy before he was governor, when I was mayor of my town of Bergen County, Ridgewood. And I had actually written, I put this in the report, I had written this op-ed at the end of my term as mayor about the need sort of to do disability differently in New Jersey, because it was just candidate Murphy read it you know, sort of connected me with his campaign team, and I helped out on the campaign advising on disability issues. And then when he became governor and this new office existed, I was asked to serve in it.
Wow, that's great. Wow. And you did quote your mother in the annual report, and I thought that was great. And it is great, great advice. Okay, so amazing. So really it was born out of that. And it's been 7 years now, Paul, that you've been in this position?
Yeah, it's been 7 in a few months. It was April 2018 I was appointed.
And when you started, it was just you, right? I don't know, a laptop, and I don't know anything else that was a part of it, just you pretty much.
Yeah, absolutely. That we, I
Yeah.
mean, we didn't know what to expect out of the office. There were no
Right.
resources, you know. In fact, when they were trying to figure out where to sort of house me, where to put an office, to me, I said the most important thing was to have a car, because I know
Yeah.
coming from a family with disability
Yeah.
and working with other families, it's sometimes it's that personal approach, that personal touch that's often missing. And I
Right.
wanted the ability to go sort of meet families where they live, literally and figuratively, and meet other
Yeah.
family members and visit schools and places of employment. So
Right.
I've been on the road a lot. We do have an
Yeah.
office, but I've been on the road a lot.
Yeah, that's true. And you say that in your report a lot, not just showing up at, large venues. That's not the point of it, is really to just see things as they're really happening. And I hear that from families. I've referred families to you. You'll get on the phone with them. You've been to people's homes, I've heard about. So that is wonderful. And I think that's really, I'm sure it's helped you too, as well, to learn more
Absolutely.
and the families feel listened to. I mean, I think that's one of the biggest issues is people can't reach people anymore. They call, nobody picks up, nobody responds. I hear that all the time. Do you hear that too, Paul?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, we hear that. And also, you know, the way we do case management in both the
Yeah.
children's system and the adult system, you know, we've outsourced it. And there might be some benefits to that, but my concern is, and I write about this a little bit in the report, is I think it created somewhat of like a moat around state government. And so the
Yeah.
people making decisions, making policies,
Right.
don't interact with the individuals affected by those
Right.
policies. And
Right.
so I think it's important to sort of break down that silo, connect with people. And to your point, not only does it help me to help that family more, but it helps me to sort of inform the larger policy discussions to take place, because we're
Right.
learning from the experts, the individuals and family on
Exactly.
the front lines. And I can share that with the colleagues in the governor's office and the different departments.
I agree. I agree. I think this next question is going to be hard to answer because it's too broad, but what would you say was your biggest or is has been your biggest challenge? And you don't love to talk about your successes, I feel like. I read that in the report. Not that you don't like to talk about it, but you feel like we have to keep, pushing forward. So we're never really done or at the finish line. But what would you say has been the biggest challenge for you?
The biggest challenge is, the biggest challenge,
Yeah.
personally or professionally?
It
I mean,
was,
personally,
or
as
both.
I write about, you know, it's a lot of what we work with. You know, people come to us with difficult situations, and some of it's
Right.
heartbreaking. And,
Yes. Yes.
you know, we all in the offices, we're a small team, you
Yeah.
know, and we get so personally invested in the people we work with, and we
True.
get very emotional with them. So that could be personally challenging.
Right.
It's been difficult because it's a new office, and as I wrote a little bit about this, you know, there were growing pains, and some people didn't see a need for it.
Right.
What role should I have? You know, what authority should I have? The truth is, there isn't really no authority in the office. You know, we just, you know, so we have to sort of navigate
Right.
that. And it's really trying to, you know, I wrote about this in a report a couple of years ago about this disconnect that
Yeah.
exists. Between, again, those making policy and those impacted by the policy. We've got a lot of good, well-intentioned, smart, thoughtful, I can give all the great adjectives,
Yep.
you know, people working government, but they're either they don't have that lived experience, or they're not working directly with people. And so the policies that come out don't reflect people's reality. And I find that, you know, really difficult to sort of navigate and push back against. And that's
Yeah.
why we try to use the report, you know, not sort of as a, you know, a standard annual report to sort of tout all your great work the year before, but to tell the story. Because I don't
Yeah.
think if you don't have it in your life, if you're not working with or connected with people with disabilities and their families, you don't understand. And so we
Yeah.
try to use it to sort of give voice, if you will, to what we're hearing. That's one of the reasons we quote families throughout the report,
Yes.
because their voice is the most important, and often it's not heard and not understood.
You did a great job with that. I love that. That was an amazing point. And I was thinking about that as I was reading it, like, wow, how do you navigate this? Because you want to, highlight what's happening that's not working, but at the same time, you also don't want to, upset everybody. So it's like a balance that, you're trying to walk. And I felt that while I was reading the report.
I appreciate that, because it is a balance, and
Yeah.
I can't tell you what a painstaking process it is, you know, because, you know, I write most of it myself, and the team helps me, you know, find things I missed and, you know, identify this and that. But we choose each word, each tone. You know what I mean? We really
Yes.
are trying to,
Yes.
yeah, say it is a tale of two systems. There's a lot of good in the system. There's a lot of good people in and out of government that have dedicated their professional lives to serving others.
Right.
But there are real problems. And that's what we deal with most. You know, people don't come to us with good stories usually. It's the
Right.
problems. And so we really try to use the report to say there's a lot of good, but we need to focus
Yeah.
also on this. We need to keep
Yeah.
moving forward.
That's a good point. I mean, and I was a school employee. I'm still a school employee, but school psychologist for 23 years. And I thought I was a great school psychologist, but I knew nothing about the adult system at all. I just didn't, because you're so embedded in your current role that that's a whole other world. So now that I look back on that, you know, a lot of times people will say, you know, the schools are not really helping with transition. They really don't. And I know I didn't understand it. And I think, you know, we all have to kind of come out of our little roles and be honest about what we need to work on. And it's okay if we're not doing everything perfectly. You know, we that's how we grow.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, to that point, you know, one of our recommendations has been, and we put this in a few of our annual reports, that every student that's classified that has an
I
IEP,
saw it. Yeah.
yeah, should have a like a support coordinator assigned to them
Yes.
just to tell them what they need to know in the adult world as they transition, what's available, who to ask.
Absolutely.
You know, not a heavy lift, but just a resource for
Yeah.
families that otherwise wouldn't know. Even schools with wonderful transition programs and
Yep.
transition coordinators, to your point, they don't really know necessarily what's on the other side of 21.
No.
And so I really think that would be a worthwhile investment
Yeah.
for everyone's
I
sake.
love that idea. Yeah, because a school employee won't be able to learn that whole system. It's too much. But a support coordinator, they're in that world, so you
Right.
kind of bridge the gap. That was a great recommendation. That was a good one. Yeah. So now you started with one staff member. What does your group look like now?
So we have five full-time staff. You know, the majority of us have a personal connection to disability, but we're all very passionate about the work we do.
Yeah,
We
yeah.
have an intern. She's been with us now for several months, our first intern. We had a part-time staff person for a while, so we're getting there. You know,
Yeah.
and we've grown, and we're small, but we are energetic, and you know, just full of just, you know, passion
I
and
love
very
that.
mission driven. My hope
Yeah.
is, you know, and we use the report, as you alluded to earlier, really as a sort of a primer for the next administration, the next ombudsman, next governor. And one of the, you know, the recommendations we have is to sort of expand the office, not for
Right.
the sake of just expanding it. We've grown slow, not necessarily as we didn't want to grow as slow as we have, but we have grown
Right.
slow and
Right.
thoughtful. But I really do think, you know, having done this now 7+ years, you know, there's opportunities to improve, make slight adjustments in different places. But one of them, frankly, is I really think that this office should be an ombudsman for all folks with disabilities and their families. That would require, again, more breadth, you know what I mean, in terms of the office and more staff, but wouldn't have to be much larger. And I say that because for a lot of folks with whether they have late onset disability
Right.
or mental health challenges,
Yes.
there's not as many resources there. And we're not going to be able to develop new programs for everybody, but at least we can have someone that people can contact and sort of help navigate the system.
My gosh, I love that so much. You know, I'm a psychologist, and the mental health piece, when people call and they talk about the mental health piece, I almost feel defeated. Like, okay, there's not a lot there, but we can go on, you know, but the other side, there's a lot of resources. So I think that's an amazing idea. Glad you
Yeah.
mentioned that. Yeah, and that was part of my question. What do you envision for the role going forward? And I think you're saying expansion to that, to include other disabilities. Anything else that you're thinking about as we move forward?
I think, you know, it'll be interesting. You know, you know, this was new and I bring my own
Yeah.
experiences and stuff. And I sort of suggested at the front of the report, somebody once commented, I approach you like a social worker because, you know, people have my cell phone. I'm doing
Right.
nighttime calls and
Right.
meetings and stuff. The next ombudsman may take a slightly different approach. You know, it'll be interesting to see as long as they stay close to the people. To me, that's the
Yeah.
key thing. I was talking to somebody earlier today. We're currently in our office is reaching out to a lot of the families we've worked with over the years to get some additional sort of information from them. Because oftentimes people come to us with time sensitive, matter.
Yeah.
Since the beginning, I don't want to sort of bog them down with like a 10,000 questions. We don't have an intake form, and maybe the next ombudsman will do that. I didn't want to create another sort of barrier or piece of paper that a family has to fill out before they talk to us. We're
Right.
very informal, and I think that's a good way to go. The next ombudsman
Yeah.
may think it makes sense to formalize it a little more. I don't
That's
know.
a good point. That's a good, that's a really, I like that idea. Yeah, just a conversation. That's what I always tell families when they call the Cape Center. It's a conversation. We're not, I like the no form too, but I get it. You may, as things grow, they may
Yeah,
have to
maybe there's a
consider.
balance. Maybe there's a way to do it.
Right.
So we're going back to them now that they're not in that moment and seeing if we can get some information that we didn't get when they first contacted us.
Yeah. So, I mean, if people don't know about your office, which they should by now, but again, it's so surprising what people don't know. You know, I always think people know things and because there's so much information, but there's really not. It doesn't get to everybody. What exactly, when would a person call you per se, your office? Like what would precipitate that? You know, over anything or they're in a challenging moment? What would it
I
be?
say anything.
Anything.
We're a resource. We can just point somebody in the right
Yeah.
direction. We can give them some links. We can have a conversation, talk through it. I always say, there's no issue too big, too small, whatever. Just,
Okay.
reach out to us. We don't, we don't get every email. I miss some
Yes.
sometimes, particularly when I'm driving, and you get inundated with
Right,
emails and just
right.
can't catch up. But just to reach out to us and see us as a resource, that again, and we try to create our website as somewhat of a one-stop, easy to access site. It's still a work in progress, but if you go to it, you'll see we try to really group things and just housing, transportation, or
Right.
children, adults. We try to make it as straightforward and I won't say simple, but as
Right.
clear as possible.
Right. Right. What is the best way for them to reach you? Is it through the website or there's a phone number? There is a phone number, right?
Yeah,
I've seen it on the website.
there's a phone number. It's on our website. We have a form you can fill out on our website. My direct email address is on the website. Anyway, as well as the team. Anyway, people are comfortable. A lot of
Yeah.
times it's word of mouth. I get texts from people on my personal phone. They were referred to us. Again, the next ombudsman may not do that for
Yeah,
me.
it worked.
Again,
Yeah,
particularly as a
yeah,
family member, I get it. You know what I mean? And people
yeah,
communicate differently, and
yeah.
we'll help in any way we can.
I think it's great that you're so approachable. I mean, personally, I think that's wonderful. And I think people feel comfortable reaching out to you. I don't know if everybody would feel that way if you were, you know, approaching it in a different way. So I think it's one of the strengths of what you brought to this position. Personally, for me too. I you know. Initially, actually, I think when I started, I was like, well, I can never call Paul. That has to be a big thing. I have to wait for like a big thing. And then I reached out to you about something and you like immediately helped me. I was like, oh, I could just reach out to Paul. You know, so
Yeah, absolutely. No, I appreciate that. And I think that is important. Again, the families that we work with, the
yeah.
individuals we work with are often, just given a run around or, not
Yes.
responded to. And we talk about this in the report. Individuals with lifespan disabilities and their family members are often just traumatized and re-traumatized. And so we just try to be as easy as possible,
Right.
because the last thing they need is yet another sort of
I agree.
barrier or a difficult situation.
Right. We always ask on the Cape Chat, this is like a question we ask, do you have any advice or what advice would you give families who have a child with special needs or just finding out their child was diagnosed with a disability or somebody in their 20s or 40s, et cetera?
One of the, I think the best piece of advice I can give is just don't take no for an answer.
Yeah.
Again, you might get, because somebody might not know the answer, and so they might give you the wrong information,
Right.
or you might not find somebody who wants to find a workaround or a way to get to yes. But we're here,
Right.
and there's a lot of
Right.
people in the system that really want to help, and so
Yeah.
you just got to keep asking until you find those people.
That's a great point. You can call one place and get a totally different answer and then call back. So you're absolutely right. Don't give up. I love that advice. That's great. Well, I definitely encourage everybody to read the report because I think it really shares and highlights everything that's been going on in the state, and it helps us with a direction and you learn a lot. So I really appreciated that and I hope everybody does read it. Thank you so much for all the work you're doing and do. And thank you for being here.
Thank you, Nicole. I appreciate it. Thank you.